The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, how are you?
Boker Tov. Yeah, I was reading about a fantastic discovery in the Judean desert of a perfectly preserved woven basket. It's estimated to date back something like 10,500 years. And there's so many interesting things about this. When you look at a picture of it, it almost looks like a washing basket. I'm not sure that it was used necessarily for dirty laundry. But the point is that it's been perfectly preserved there, even though it's made of material that otherwise would not have survived. But because of the unique weather conditions that are prevalent in that part of the world, these organic materials have managed to survive such an extended period of time. It's also been made public that apparently some antiquity looters had probably come within something like 10 centimeters from discovering this artifact themselves. And the Israeli Antiquities Authority is really doing a lot of work within the caves around the Judean desert in order to try to see what they can do to unearth as many of the antiquities as they can, because they are aware of the fact that there are looters going around these places to try and dig things up. This one somehow managed to survive. They say that the basket has a capacity of something like 92 liters. They're not quite sure which plant it was actually made from, but some more investigations are being done. They found some soil inside the basket, which is otherwise empty, and it actually has a lid on it. So it's really an amazing production for something that's 10,500 years old and been fantastically preserved. And it's amongst a number of things that were discovered recently. The other thing that caught my eye was a small comb that was discovered, which dated back apparently to the Roman period. And the comb even had a louse still stuck between its teeth. Apparently this problem of lice in your hair is not a new one by any stretch of the imagination.
Unbelievable. So interesting. Absolutely fascinating. All right, tell us about Israel being accused of attacking targets in Syria overnight by Syrian media. I'm shocked. Shocked.
Yeah, again. Well, shocked. I mean, it's only been 2 weeks since the last accusations came out. But once again, yesterday was characterized by a lot of shuffling of aircraft between Iran and Syria, apparently carrying missiles. This is what we are led to believe by unnamed sources. The Israeli media or Israeli officials sources are very, very silent on the issue and simply reporting whatever is being reported by the Syrian media, which is so full of contradictions, it makes it quite funny. On the one hand, they say that Syrian air defenses responded to this alleged Israeli airstrike near Damascus, and that most of the incoming missiles were intercepted and only some material damage was caused. So on the one hand, they're trying to send a message that they really managed to stave off this huge attack. On the other hand, they are saying that there were some explosions which were likely caused by stored ammunition exploding. So one has to assume that at least some of those missiles managed to hit their targets if these ammunition storage facilities were exploding. We understand that there were quite a number of flights that took place. There were some independent flight tracking sites which reported yesterday that quite a number of flights had taken place between Iran and Syria, both Iranian and Syrian flights. And we understand, we are led to believe at least, that they're being used to smuggle Iranian weapons to Syria and Lebanon, traveling between Damascus and Tehran. And obviously, one then has to conclude from the accusations of the attack last night that Israeli intelligence has probably been keeping an eye on these events and decided to take action as soon as these weapons literally hit the ground in Syria by carrying out that strike. If, of course, we believe that the strike was carried out by Israeli aircraft, which it seems quite believable. I mean, you know, we have nothing to confirm or deny it, but it seems quite believable and it seems relatively consistent with the reports that we've received in recent times about Israeli airstrikes against targets in Syria, which also have arisen from apparently the shuttling of arms and ammunition between Iran and Syria. So just a little bit more of the same, but just a reminder that, you know, there's nowhere to hide in Syria and there's nowhere to hide in Iran when it comes to arming and giving further ammunition to those who might be on Israel's borders.
Yeah, absolutely. A number of Israeli government officials are on a trip to European countries as part of a diplomatic initiative. That's interesting that this is happening now. What diplomacy is currently being pursued here?
Well, I think there are really three main issues that seem to be on the agenda for the various Israeli officials who are traveling in Europe this week. The first, I think, is the issue of Iran, and in particular the nuclear agreement and the way that it's currently being reassessed. The second issue on the agenda is the issue of those initiatives at the International Criminal Court, which we've discussed, where Israel is currently, there is a threat that Israel and Israelis could potentially be tried for war crimes. So that's another issue that's very much on the agenda. And then there's also the issue of Hezbollah and what Hezbollah are up to in particular, the issue of the general politics in the Middle East surrounding the Palestinian elections. And of course, just for good measure, there's a bit of COVID being discussed as well in these meetings. President Rudi Rivlin was yesterday in Germany. He met his German counterpart, German President Frank-Walter Steinmeier, and also the German Foreign Minister Heiko Maas. Not much has been disclosed about the nature of their discussions, but I'm guessing that that was really very much focused on Iran and also on the International Criminal Court initiatives. We also know that President Rivlin is accompanied by the IDF Chief of General Staff, Lieutenant General Aviv Kochavi, and he also has been meeting with some of his counterparts in Germany. Rivlin is due to travel today to Austria to meet his Austrian counterpart, and tomorrow he is due to be in France to also meet the French president on Thursday. So that is what's happening with President Rivlin, also being accompanied by Aviv Kochavi. And separately, we have Israeli Foreign Minister Gabi Ashkenazi, who left for Moscow earlier this week. And he's meeting with his Russian counterpart, Sergei Lavrov, who earlier this week also met with a senior Hezbollah representative from Lebanon, a representative, the head of the Hezbollah bloc in the Lebanese parliament. And so it seems like there is no coincidence that Gabi Ashkenazi is traveling straight after that meeting. I'm guessing he's going to want to know all about what that Hezbollah representative might have said to Sergei Lavrov. It's interesting that Ashkenazi will also be trying to convince Sergei Lavrov to allow Israelis who have the green passport to travel to Russia without any limitations. There is just a small little issue, a little fly in the ointment of that particular discussion, because, of course, Israel has rejected attempts by the Russians to give to sell to Israel the Russian vaccine. Israel has effectively not accepted the Russian vaccine. And so the likelihood is that the Russian government may well decide not to accept the Israeli green passport in retaliation for that. But I'm guessing as well that Gabi Ashkenazi will be talking about Russian presence in Syria, some of the issues that have been happening in that Syrian area. And also, we understand that there is still some talk about the efforts to recover bodies of Israelis missing in action in Syria, including that of Israeli spy Eli Cohen, and the others, some of whom we mentioned in a discussion that we have on this last, that we had on this last week. So a number of initiatives going on all in parallel. And right before our election, which is due to take place next week.
All right, Anthony, I was waiting for this. Rene says, good morning. I hope you are well. About that basket that you said is over 10,000 years old, according to Judaism, the world is only 4, 5, 7, 8, 1, dating back to Adam and Eve. So the basket is older than the world. And Mike Luber says, interesting point, but the world is only 5, 7, 8, 1. Do you want to get into this, Anthony, or do you want to move
Not really, not really. I mean, I'm just telling you what, you know, those historians who've had a look at this have said. into, you know, yeah. I'm certainly not going to get into this discussion about...
You heretic, yeah. You non-believer. What are you? All sorts of things. Wow, wow. Look at you negatively influencing my listeners. Wow. All right.
We'll leave everybody to believe what they want. Maybe it's only 5,780 years old, maybe
As if we need a clause that says, feel free to disagree. You know, as if we need that on this radio station.
We do need it, Howard, because I don't know. I think people otherwise might be a little hesitant to disagree with you, don't you think?
Yes, because my listeners are so compliant. They agree with everything I say. All right. And finally, Iron Dome has successfully undergone some tests after a recent upgrade. What is the upgrade? Wow. Okay.
Let's just start by saying that Iron Dome is approximately 10 years old. It's shot down.
That is
subsequent to 10,500 years. That's 10 years old.
Yes.
During that period of time, it has actually shot down something like 2,500 coming missiles towards Israel, in so doing, obviously protecting large swathes of the Israeli population. It's done an absolutely fantastic job. The recent upgrade involves an ability to shoot down drones. And I think this says as much about the way that warfare is going as it does about Iron Dome itself, because now apparently Iron Dome can simultaneously shoot down incoming missiles, rockets, as well as drones that might represent a threat to Israeli security. So this is just a development and, you know, the next stage, let's say, in the warfare that we conduct. Drones have become an increasing threat to Israeli security. Israel itself uses drones very, very extensively in all number of different ways. We've got so many different drones, the very, very small ones, which some of the foot soldiers carry on their backs, literally, and can launch them from any point in order to try to see what is potentially beyond the horizon. They can literally just launch the drone. They have the screen in their hands, and they can literally see what's hiding beyond the next hill. And then we also have the much, much bigger drones, which are missile-carrying drones. And as much as we're able to use them against our enemies are equally able to obtain these drones and use them against us. So this has become an increasing threat. And we are now led to believe that the test that Iron Dome has undergone will allow it to shoot down drones as well as rockets, barrages, all types of things that might be incoming and might represent a threat to our security.
All right. Absolutely amazing. It is 8:00. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow morning, same time, same place.